Dubfod goes hard.
Laura Sykes Jambon.
Hi.
French for ham from Rochester. Had a pygmy goat in college. Why?
For the cuteness factor. Yeah.
Well, there are a lot of other things that are cute. How about a little cat?
I had a little cat, and one time my
goat
ate a chunk of it, her fur. She didn't enjoy that.
No.
Billy also enjoyed eating a lot of things, like a three-wick candle, an entire bag of Hershey Kisses, and unfortunately, he met his demise by eating a bag of Quikrete.
Wait a minute. Was it a 60-pound or an 80-pound bag? Because...
Alex, you're being insensitive.
You're right.
Travis is here. Hi, Travis.
Hello.
Drunk is here via Skype. Hi, Drunk.
Marnin'.
Marnin'? Is that what you said? Marnin'? And guys, Matt is here as well.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Matt.
Hi.
Yeah. There's a lot going on, right, Travis?
So much things.
Now, Travis, of course, I think the most important thing that we have to talk about is your incident. But I want to preface it by saying that there was controversy about your story. And so as a quality journalist, I might have to quiz you a bit on this. I might have to, you know, ask the hard-hitting questions.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's fine. You do that. I forget that when you post things to Twitter, you know, you shouldn't, first of all. And second of all, I guess I've never been on the side where you post something and people are immediately like, yeah, right, that didn't happen.
Drunk, I know that you're not real active on the Twitter. Did you see Travis's story?
I did not.
From his big weekend. He was accused, Drunk, of being a Jussie Smollett. There was people on Twitter claiming that Travis, it was fibbing. And I know a lot of things about Travis. I don't think Travis is much of a fibber.
Yeah, that doesn't sound much like the Travis pee pants I know.
Travis, he pees his pants, yes. Is he an opportunist? Does he go around and buy up all the Uncle Ben's? Yes, absolutely, he does. He does that. But he's not a fibber.
There's no reason for it. There's just no, and I, you know, like I said, I shouldn't have even taken to Twitter to do that. I was just so,
Travis,
I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. I was dumbfounded by the whole situation.
So you went to the beach.
And the beach.
The beach costs $5.
$5. Pull in. It's like the Lake Association. They take care of the beach. So it's not like a public beach necessarily. It's part of like this Lakes Association where, you know, a bunch of rich people live on the lake. They pay their lake dues. And then if you want to use this lake, which I guess is a public beach, but is owned by this Lake Association, you pull in, you throw $5 in an envelope. You throw it in this little box. You pull off this little piece of envelope. You throw it on your dashboard.
So it's, you know, $5 per car?
$5 per car, not per person. It's just $5 per car. You could bring a clown car and bring 100 people to the beach. It's just write your license plate number on this envelope, drop it in the box with your $5.
And so it's self-serve. There isn't like a ticket man.
There is not a ticket man. You just drop it in this metal rusting box.
So you're on the honor system, is what you're.
So it's like a state park. You are definitely on the honor system there.
You are, absolutely. And usually it's only happened a couple of times that I've noticed. I mean, obviously because we always put our money in there, but they'll have somebody from like their like Lake Association Parks Department or whatever come around, empty the box, and then kind of just go through the parking lot to see if the people have the little tear off.
Okay, so they're looking at the dash for the little tear off.
Exactly.
To see if everybody's doing what they're supposed to do.
Right. I think if they don't see the tear off in your dash, then they'll look in the box to see if your license plate number is in the box with your $5.
Okay. And so you went to the beach and you had an altercation with a man.
Had an altercation with a man. I guess here's kind of the setup. When I walked in, and it's not surprising to see, you know, it's like a side-by-side gator kind of all-terrain vehicle. Like, it's not a four-wheeler. It's a side-by-side ATV. And there, you can drive in this particular township. You can ride four-wheelers and three-wheelers and these gators and stuff, like, right on the road.
So this is the ticket man, or this is the
angry man? No, this is the altercation man. So It was a busy day. It was a hot day. So I walk through, and there's like these three UTV things sitting side by side, and one of them had a Trump cloth banner hanging from it, you know, so that way when they fly down the road,
like a flag.
It was like a Trump flag. Yeah. You see them a lot up here. It's like a Trump 2020 Keep America Great Again blue with red lettering.
So when you referred to the man in your tweet as a Trump supporter, you know that because he had a flag on his ATV.
We love Trump for this year. Exactly.
It wasn't like you were saying, oh, he's white. He's probably he's a white angry guy. He's a Trump guy.
Right. He must be a Trump supporter. No,
one of the few attributes you know about this man is that he supports Trump because he waves a Trump flag.
Exactly. He waves a Trump flag. Somebody in his beach party had a Trump camel visor on. These were obviously Trump supporters. This is not me just saying, oh, you must be a Trump supporter.
Now, Matt, keep in mind.
Yes.
Travis was called a Jussie Smollett. And I want to be thorough here. I want to make sure that if you catch Travis on something here, you stop us and you, well, you ask for clarification.
Yeah, hold me accountable here. This is factual. I want to get
it.
My
wasn't just today. One man who called Travis a Jussie Smollett. He was called a Jussie Smollett by several people that believe.
Well, I'm really excited. I can't wait to hear the part where he gets bleach thrown on him. So please, Travis, continue.
So what the deal is we were enjoying our beach time just fine. The kids were out in the water. We had our little setup. We had canopy. We had chairs. We had a whole deal. We were making a day of it at the beach. I just kind of looking at these people over to the corner. And, you know, this group over here with these UTVs, there was a couple of kids, probably a guy in his mid to late 50s, and the rest of them were probably mid to late 40s, early 50s. So there's three guys, a couple of kids and two ladies there. So they're having a fine time. It's fine. Nope. Everybody's keeping it themselves. Everybody's enjoying themselves.
The $5 beach.
For $5 for per car. Exactly.
Right.
So we're sitting there enjoying our time.
A foot long sub at Subway.
Yeah, exactly. Except the entire family can enjoy this.
Right.
So the kids are in the water. We're sitting there. I'm enjoying a nice high noon beverage. We're just watching the kids hanging out, enjoying the beach weather. And all of a sudden we hear a ruckus.
Oh, no.
There's a ruckus coming from behind us. Didn't really know what was going on at first until we kind of looked over to these like ATV, UTV guys. And all you can hear is this one guy in his sunshades and his hat and his drunken stupor, I guess I assume, just screaming at this Parks kid who's probably 20 maximum, just doing his job in his little green Parks shirt, walking around checking to see if people have the little tab that they're supposed to have to pay for. And this guy is going off on him. He's, you know, he's doing the angry man pointing thing where he's shoving his finger towards the kid saying, "You fucking..." Just screaming at the top of his lungs at this
poor kid. So are these people far enough away that you can't really hear them?
No, they're quite close. Like the beach is not huge. and there was a lot of people there. So if you were paying any attention and you weren't directly in the water, you were going to be noticing what the hell was happening.
Now give me a feet distance, an estimate of how far between you and the Trump man.
Maybe, God, maybe 10 yards.
Okay.
Maybe 10 yards, something like that.
Matt, how far is a yard?
3 feet. 30 feet.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's like 30 feet away. Okay.
Yeah, give or take. Yeah, give or take 30 feet away. So he's screaming at this person, this poor kid, who's out in this hot-ass day just checking to see if people paid their $5. And I mean, what I mean, he's screaming at him. He's at the top of his lungs.
And what's minimum wage up there, Travis?
You know, like probably $7.50.
So this kid... He shows up once every couple hours to check the tin and just happened to notice to this guy that he maybe didn't have it on his dashboard. Like, how many people were on the beach?
It was packed. So there was, I mean.
So would you say beach. That maybe this guy is singling out this one guy, or do you think he had a pretty good run?
No, I mean, he was just scanning because he was parked close to the beach. There's like a line right close to the beach as you can get. So he was probably just walking. The guy was probably only, again, you know, probably 30 feet from the box that you're supposed to put your money in.
Right.
So, I mean, it's probably one of the first vehicles he looked at and saw that it didn't have this little tag in it.
Okay, so he was looking at the vehicle, not the guy. Did the guy confront him because he was looking at the vehicle?
Yes, I didn't get quite to that point. I assume that's what happening because the kid just had his little notepad and his little pencil.
Okay.
And you have to understand, if they bust you without having put your $5 in this box, you know what they do?
They make you pay the $5.
Put a little ticket in there that says you didn't pay your $5. Next time you have to pay $10 if you come back.
Ooh.
So we're not talking about a $250 fine here or anything. It's just this poor kid saying, hey, you got to pay your $5.
Right.
So this guy is screaming at the top of his lungs at this poor kid. Nobody in his group is stopping him. They're just letting him accost this child who is just doing his job. And the wife and I are looking at each other and we're sitting there and I'm like, you know, this is ridiculous. This is nonsense. And it got, it, I mean,
do you think she's thinking in the back of her mind, uh-oh, Travis is about to go Travis again.
It carried on long enough to where I said, I'm going to say something. And she's like, don't say anything. He's probably drunk. He's just going to do it. He's just going to drive away. They'll be done. Just don't say anything. There's kids here. Don't say anything. And I stood there for a while. And meanwhile, this guy went from screaming at this kid about this ticket saying, write the fucking ticket then. Write the fucking ticket. You fucking bastard. Write the fucking ticket. So he's just screaming at this kid. And then all of a sudden, it spun into, you fucking Democrats. There wasn't these fucking Democrats and liberals.
So it was the left as a whole.
Automatically, it's the left, even though this beach has been a pay beach since the original George Bush and most likely since Ronald Reagan.
Oh, this so he not, thought that just, the Democrats were the ones making him pay the $5.
He thought the Democrats were the ones ruining that beach. Oh. By making him pay $5.
You know what, Travis? Maybe like he's been going to the beach for a long time and never paid the $5. Now, man, if they find out how often I've come to this beach, I'm going to owe like $30.
This is going to be a real problem here. So anyway, I still was kind of letting it go. And the wife is kind of looking at me and she kind of goes about her business. She's blowing up this giant tube. And all of a sudden, this genuine piece of human garbage shouts at the top of his lungs, I bet if the N-words showed up here and burnt this beach down, nobody would give a shit.
Well, did they bring cars or did they march?
The N-word is when I immediately snapped to attention and shouted to this guy, knock it the fuck off. Well, he now had a new place to direct his anger.
Oh, sure. Because you're probably a Democrat, right?
He jerked his head towards me and said, what the fuck, you stupid liberal? What are you going to do about it? And I said, first of all, you don't know my politics, guy.
Oh, no. You called him guy?
It's got nothing.
You guyed him?
I did guy him.
You know what's even worse than guy is my guy. If you would have called him my guy.
You shouting your racist bullshit at a beach where my children are swimming. So then, of course, I'm now the focus.
You should have buddied him. All right, buddy.
Guy felt really good.
Now, Travis, in his defense, how do you know he's racist?
Kind of like I know how he was a Trump supporter, because he kind of just wore it on his sleeve, right? Like, it's right there.
Matt, yes. Are we following up enough? Because Travis, well, he was accused of being a Jussie Smollett, Matt. Does this sound like
I don't understand where he's a Jussie Smollett yet.
He made it up. He made it up to virtue signal to his fellow libs.
Yeah, my fellow libtards. I was trying to white knight on social media.
Oh, okay. So here's the deal. Maybe I would agree with that if, and I don't really mean to offend you at all, Travis.
I'm not going
out of my way to offend you. But the same amount of people that follow Travis and would pay attention to what Travis does on Twitter are the same amount of people that are in the WFOD chat group with Matt.
That's pretty much exactly
so
right.
He really could have just, I don't know who he would be virtually.
Yeah, it would have been like us plus Jody and Liquid, really.
I'm going to say that it's the
WFOD. But I mean, that guy doesn't know that. That guy probably thinks that Travis has a big reach.
Yeah.
And that everybody's going to be very impressed with his story.
My tweets don't typically get like a wide signal when I send them out into the world.
Yeah. I don't know what he would be obtaining by tweeting that out.
And especially I would assume he hasn't looked through my Twitter feed to see that I've never really done any kind of thing like this.
Now, Travis,
my Twitter feed is not full of this.
This
kind
man,
of shit.
This man wanted to physically fight you, didn't he?
This man kept shouting at me that I was a liberal and a Democrat, even though I told him he did the guy, you know, my politics guy.
But I mean, let's be fair. Like, once you get into that part of the conversation, you're not having a conversation.
No.
It doesn't matter. Like you.
Right.
You've stood against him. So right. Now so you're the enemy.
Automatically the bad guy, which means you're a liberal Democrat. So anyway, he's shouting back and forth. And I'm just trying to, you know, like, I just don't want your racist shit on the beach. This is a public beach. Don't do it here. And he kept telling me, do something. What are you going to do? Do something. I said, I'm not going to do anything. I just want you to stop. So then he marches towards me, and I mean marches towards me like he's on a mission, and he's got some random teenage kid behind him and like this 10-year-old boy.
Oh, they're going to
jump obviously
you.
Being warped by this kind of ideology. I mean, you could just see it in his eyes. None of this fazed him. So he comes up to me and is literally like one of those puffed out chest, you know, jock.
Get him, Cletus.
Yeah, like right in my I mean, Dr. Fauci would be. I rate that we were as close as we are, because he was like inches from my face. He's like, what are you going to do about it? Do something. What are you going to do about it? I said, I don't want to fight you. I just want you to stop shouting the N-word in a public beach. And he's just in my face the entire time.
So
you know.
Did he at any point pay the $5?
No. No, as this was happening, while he's screaming at this kid and before this kind of escalated into me getting involved and having an altercation with me, I think they started packing up because they didn't feel like paying the $5. So they were packing up. He's shouting this and shouting that. And he said, I want to say he dropped the N-word one more time at like towards me.
A defiant N-word, just to give you one last one, like, you're not the boss of me.
It was like he was trying to get me to engage, right? Like he was trying to get me to hit him. He wanted me to hit him very badly. And I was able to like diffuse the situation a bit by essentially he said it. And I said, listen to the way you're talking in front of your children. And the little 10-year-old kid says, he's not my dad. I said, well, look how I said, and I said to him, I said, well, then look how you're talking in front of other people's children. And that was enough for him to finally just kind of turn around, mumble some bullshit under his breath at me, and then leave.
Travis.
Yeah.
Travis, what you are is your hero, Travis.
Thank you, Mike. That's all I ever. The wife was not super pleased that this went down.
She was mad at you?
She wasn't mad at me. She was worried that it was going to escalate because she's like, I thought for sure he was going to hit you. And I said, well, I think I did an okay job. I said, it's one thing for him to like be berating this child who's doing his job, which I said to him too when he was in my face. I said, listen to yourself. You're berating and screaming obscenities at this 20-year-old kid doing his job, and you're shouting the N-word at a public beach. Who's the bad guy here? And that's when, you know, he kind of walked away. But so, no, I was talking to the wife afterwards. I said, it's one thing that this is happening and he's causing a scene and he's just kind of a piece of human shit for yelling at this kid for no reason. But when he's shouting the N-word in public, if my kids would have heard that and known that I didn't do anything about it, like I was okay with it, that I was all right with allowing that to happen, it wouldn't have felt good to me that I would just stand by and let that part of it happen, you know? But luckily, they didn't hear anything. They were all like out in the water and shit, so they didn't know any of that went down.
I don't know, Matt. I believe him.
I believe him. I don't have any reason to not believe Travis, except for that time he was fake drunk on the show.
I tell you, when the altercation was over, like the adrenaline was pumping so much through me, like my hands were like shaking. It took like
you're pumped.
20 minutes to half an hour.
I mean, I get that. Like, happening. Well, you know, Travis, like, I do kind of feel for your wife too, in the sense that, like, you know, yeah, you don't know what this guy's gonna do. Like, if he's an idiot that's screaming, acting this way, like, you don't know what he's, you know, maybe he's got a gun. He's gonna fuck.
That's the thing. You don't know what he's capable of. And it's not like I really thought it through. It was just the fact that as soon as he shouted the N-word and about how they could burn it down and nobody would care, and everybody does care that he has to pay his $5, that I was just like, I didn't think
of it. I mean, right up there with the popcorn bitch, you know, like Travis is out there.
Travis,
he's an altercation.
He's out there, Matt. With people.
Matt, yeah, just know if you're out there, I'm also out there.
The Gator's watching, guys. You never forget. Guys, what we're going to do, we're going to take a break.
He's an SJW.
When we come back, he's going to be talking to a trivia author, Stephen Farrell. He's got a series of books to make you prepared for the...
Travis, you know what the first question is, right?
Jeopardy.
What is it?
You're related to Will?
It's a good one. It's a good one, Matt. It's good.
I take responsibility.
I take responsibility.
Mike, was that you?
I take responsibility.
Thank you, Sarah Paulson.
Travis stumbled into a bar one night, and a popcorn machine was there in sight. As he tossed some kernels into his face, a voice came calling from the back of the place.
They called him bitch.
They called him popcorn bitch.
The popcorn bitch.
His eyes began to twitch.
They called him bitch.
He looked for which.
The popcorn bitch.
Guy called him popcorn bitch.
Who you calling a bitch? Bitch,
he said to the man. The guy got up with a drink in his hand. Travis wasn't ready to let it slide.
Why don't you and me take this outside?
He called him popcorn bitch.
Popcorn bitch.
Travis's eyes began to twitch.
Popcorn bitch.
He'd fight the man who witch.
Popcorn bitch.
Called him the popcorn bitch. Travis threw the first punch. Then he got hit once. His friend got involved and hit his opponent a bunch. He called him popcorn bitch.
Popcorn bitch.
Travis's eye began to twitch.
Popcorn bitch.
He'd fight the man who witch.
Popcorn bitch.
Called him the popcorn bitch. They called him popcorn bitch. I began to twitch. He'd fight the man who witch. called him the popcorn bitch.
Hey, fuckwads! Did you know that we're on the TuneIn app for your smartphones? Wherever you go. That's right, take us anywhere. Take us to the fucking mall, take us to the boat, take them in your car, do whatever the fuck you want. You can listen 24 hours a day to StrangeLabel.com. Download the app, search for Strange Label. StrangeLabel.com on your phone.
Pop quiz, hotshot.
Once again, WFOD. Wheelbarrow full of dicks.
Welcome back. Our guest tonight is a trivia author who has sold over 20,000 copies of his game show trivia books. For more information on him, go to gameshowtrivia.net. The great Stephen Farrell is on the program. Stephen, how's it going, man?
Oh, it's going good. I don't know about how great I am, but it's nice to be on the air, yes.
You're in St. Louis too, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I'm in Maplewood.
Maplewood, wow. Steve, you probably could have just came by.
Well, that'd have been nice.
Why don't you swing on over to Mike's house?
Well, next time, we will.
By any chance, have you ever been driving around the St. Louis area and just threw a can of peas out your window?
Oh.
No.
Okay. Steven, right, somebody chucked a can of peas off the back of my house, and I never did figure it out. I never figured out who it was.
I've been trying to figure that one out for years.
You did eat them, though, right?
No, I didn't. I threw them away. I mean, they were store brand. They weren't like, you know, Green Giant or anything.
Oh, yeah. Get rid of that.
So, Stephen, you put out these books, and from what I'm kind of gathering from it is you're kind of moneyballing the quiz show game. Like, you kind of break it down into, what their tendencies are. And you've made like a study guide that people can get an idea of what kind of stuff that they're going to be asking you about.
Originally started out that I just started taking notes off Jeopardy and Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and other game shows, and because, you know, I wanted to get good enough to take the Jeopardy test.
Oh, so that was your reason for wanting to do it, is you were trying to figure out what they were doing
got weird categories they ask about that normal people don't know, you know, like fashion and dance and geology. And so, you know, you have to get good at that stuff. You have to know a little about a lot.
Right.
And that's why PhDs don't do very well on Jeopardy, because they have their subject. And then in the fashion category or famous first, you know, they're locked out.
Like, so they haven't watched a lot of Cheers. So they don't know who the guys on Cheers were, because they were busy reading books like a bunch of nerds, right?
Yeah.
Do you just watch it every night and tab what people asked from what category, and how do you do it? What's your process?
Well, like I said, I wanted to study these odd categories, so I started taking notes. And the second version of Jeopardy came on the air in 1985 with Alex Trebek. And back then, I was at work in the afternoon when it came on, so I went out and I bought a VCR. If you remember Sony Betamax, would call a dinosaur, but I had a Sony Betamax, and I would record the show while I was at work and watch it at home at night. And after a few years of this, I became pretty good at answering the questions, but there were still things I was weak on. So And I started taking notes, and this continues a hobby for, I don't know, many years. And I had piles of notebooks all around my house, just, you know, and I got them all together one day and stacked them up, and they were over 2 feet high. And that's the first idea I had, that I had enough material to write a trivia book for someone who wants to study for game shows.
Do you still have that Betamax?
Oh, no, no. Somebody just died for it. I told him at work I still have a Betamax, and he had like 400 beta tapes, you know, and he gave me the original price for it, you know.
Oh,
it was like,
nice.
Eight years old, yeah.
I was going to say.
I remember it was $450, and that was a lot in 85.
Yeah, that was when the wars broke out. It was Betamax versus VCR, and Betamax lost. But there's a good collector's market for that.
Uh-huh. But there's still people like this guy that had, you know, gazillion tapes sitting around and needed a player to play them on. So
of course
he was happy to get it, and I didn't use it, so I was happy to get the original price right back out of it. So
you went and took the Jeopardy test a couple of times, didn't you?
Back in 97, when I first took the test, I flew out to Los Angeles, and they gave the test right there in the Jeopardy studio. It would consist of 50 questions, 50 different categories, and I passed, and I got a personal interview, and then they send you home, and you sit and wait for your phone to ring. Well, it never rang. So 98, I flew back out, did the same thing, passed again, got the interview, never got called. This went on to 2001. I passed it every year, got the interview, never got called, and 2001, because of 9/11, they moved the test to a hotel, a local hotel, and I passed it two more times there, and my phone still never rang. I think during the interview, they look at you pretty close. They tell maybe I was a little nervous or some twitch or something like that that was keeping me from getting on the show.
Oh, so passing the test isn't the whole thing. They're also seeing if you're going to be good on TV, I guess.
Right, yeah. They're
do you have a weird abscess on your face or something, Steve?
I don't know. They don't want people to freeze up, that's for sure. That happened on a show here about 6 months ago. This gal froze up, and everybody felt sorry for her. It was so sad to see it. But, you know, they want to really try hard to prevent that from happening. So
had you put out any of your books by the time you had done these tests? Like, do you think that they kind of knew about you? Maybe they had a chip on their shoulder about?
I don't know. But I've come out with new versions of my book. You know, this is the sixth edition. And it seemed like when I came out with a new version, they would come out with questions like they were taking them right out of the book.
Or maybe your book's just really good.
Yeah. So, you know, and that helped me sell a lot of books. So the radio interviews went well, and that continued on until 2003. And then my company put me on midnight shift, and I had to give it up because I wasn't getting enough sleep. So,
getting enough sleep to go do the test again?
Or? Right, I was working midnight shift, and I was suffering from sleep deprivation.
Oh,
so that really impairs your thing. So,
yeah.
Anyway, I finally got off
no joke.
Midnight shift about 12 years later, and I got back into the book and starting to promote the book again, and put out a couple of new editions.
So question-wise, is there a difference? Because you mentioned both Jeopardy and Millionaire. Is there like a different structure to them? Is there something unique about?
Well, the structure of the show is different, but the medium material is the same. You know, I call it in the Goldilocks zone, not too difficult, not too hard. And that kind of limits the material. In Millionaire, of course, they get into these super hard questions when they get up into, you know, $250,000 and $500,000 question. But
right,
the general middle knowledge, that's the stuff that's in my book. And that's what helped this guy. What is his name? I had a cold phone call one day. Guy I never knew called me up and thanked me. His name was Armand Ketchigan. And he had won $500,000 on Millionaire, and he wanted to thank me because he said he couldn't have done it without my trivia book.
Well, that's a good quote to put on the back, I would imagine.
Yeah, that's a great success story there.
Yeah.
And you were a phone a friend a couple times, weren't you? Is that kind of cheating?
Yeah,
because you weren't really their friend? Or they don't really care?
Right, right. Oh, they're doing that now. The new Millionaire is on.
Who's hosting it now? Is it Kimmel?
It just debuted. It's Jimmy Kimmel's the host. And
what?
Jimmy Kimmel is the host of the new Millionaire. It's on ABC on Wednesday night.
I had no idea.
Yep.
And now you actually have to be their friend?
The people that were on have been on already. They had Ken Jennings on there as the life partner. It's not a phone a friend now. They have somebody there in the studio because the studio.
Oh, now you actually have to show
because
up.
Of the virus. See, so they just have one person in the studio, and that's their lifeline.
Oh.
And Ken Jennings has been on there, and Brad Rutter has been on there. And Brad Rutter is he's won more money on game shows than anybody in history. It's like $4.8 million.
Is it?
He's won playing Jeopardy.
Does anybody ever tell Ken Jennings, "Nah, that can't be right," and choose something different?
Well, he makes his share of mistakes too, but
of course.
Is Brad Rutter the goofy bartender guy?
No. I don't know. He had his own trivia show for a while, and I think that's how he got good at this. But he just has, you know, instant recall to, you know, gazillion facts. You know, just it's unbelievable all the stuff he has, and he can recall it like right now. And that's why he actually beat Ken Jennings three times in, you know, head-to-head tournaments.
I'm limited, probably, Travis, to, like, we'd have to get, like, a whole team of people. Like, I can do a 90s music, and that's about it. If there was
well,
a trivia...
Well, you're familiar with the trivia nights in St. Louis.
Right? Oh, yeah, we used to go to one at Shamrock's all the time.
Yeah.
In St. Charles, but... I don't think you were
well,
the guy.
That's how you get a good team together. You get, you know, I was played on the best trivia team in St. Louis for a couple of years. We would win about 90% of the time. And we had all the bases covered.
Oh, you see, I was got like an Ocean's 11
yeah,
of trivia.
Yeah, I was the Oscar guy and the, you know, the history guy. And geography. Geography, I'd say, would be my main forte. But we had one guy that just, he watched TV all the time. You know, he was our TV guy. You just have a balance side, and that's why we were able to win. One guy cannot carry a trivia team.
So you guys just have a whole glove box full of free bucket coupons.
Yeah. We did win Cardinals box seats one time for winning trivia. That was pretty cool.
But you host trivia too, don't you? So you do trivia and
it's,
you...
It's fun for me to get out and write interesting questions, you know, 100 questions, and then... Show up at the trivia night and read them yourself, and you know you're the local expert. If anybody's got any questions, you know that's why it never works out if somebody else writes the questions, you know, and have a different MC because the questions always come up about you know the clues you give during the performance, and if you didn't write it and do the research, then you're going to have trouble explaining why the Enterprise was the first space shuttle that they used, although it never went into orbit. Instead of the Columbia, which is the first one that actually went into orbit. And we had a big powwow about that one night.
So it's all in the details.
Yeah, right.
Do you ever berate people for giving just terrible answers?
Well, I had a real bad experience one time. I show up as a freelancer sometimes. And put me on a team. You know, I show up 5 minutes before the match. And and I got on this team one time, and I was shouting, you know, whispering the answers across the table to the gal, writing them down, you know, and I got all 10 of the first round, and she didn't believe me, and I didn't even think to check the score sheet, but we only got two right. I'm like, what happened, you know? Well, she didn't believe those answers I were giving her were the correct answers, so, yeah, that's a difficult situation, but generally, I would jump into some of them teams, and we would have enough talent to win, and people that never won a trivia match before, it was a really, really good Saturday night.
The ones that get me, Travis, is when if they just ask a trivia question and I can sit there at the table and talk to my buddies about it and write something down and hand it to the guy, that's one thing. But then when they have the thing where you go up there and he says, name 10 baseball players and you got 10 seconds, go.
Oh, put you on the spot and you freeze up.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's probably where they'd get me too is freezing up because I'd be weirded out. Of course I know 10 baseball players. People who don't know anything know 10 baseball players.
Sammy Sosa.
Larry Bird.
No, you're out.
Larry Bird.
Michael Jordan.
That's actually right.
Yeah, Michael Jordan's a baseball player. Yeah.
Yep, Bo Jackson.
You know, when they went back and they said in that 30 for 30 that Michael Jordan was actually good at baseball, that's when I got mad at that Last Dance thing. Because they were like, oh, yeah, Michael Jordan was actually good at baseball. I'm like, no, he wasn't. If I know anything, it's that Michael Jordan wasn't good at baseball. So stop it.
Yeah, he was stuck in AA. Birmingham Barons.
And good, he should have been.
There's some trivia for you. He played for the Birmingham Barons, and I guess their bus was pretty rickety and the air con didn't work and all this stuff. And he went out and bought the team a $200,000 bus to go to drive to these.
So he baseball, play away baseball that sounds, games. That sounds about right.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
There's conspiracy theories out there that it was a secret suspension because he was a degenerate gambler.
Michael Jordan?
Yeah.
Really?
They think that maybe the commissioner of the NBA just said he had to go away for a while, but they weren't going to talk about it.
There's they didn't Pete Rose him. They just said, "Hey, you're Michael Jordan."
Well, I mean, if you think about it, the biggest player in the league, he gets in trouble. I mean, you suspend him for a year for gambling. That could tarnish the whole thing. Think of how much money you'd lose, Travis.
Yeah, you're not going to do that.
It's probably not true. But it's interesting.
Well, that's the first I've heard of it. I can't, you know, good old Michael Jordan, you just can't believe that he would do that. But you know, stranger things have happened.
Right.
You know, my prediction for 2021, Michael Jordan returns to the basketball court.
You think?
Yeah.
To do what? Like the half court shot for 10 grand?
Nope. He's coming back to play for the Bulls.
So you've sold a lot of copies of this book. Is there like a lot of people who I guess watch Jeopardy and think this is for me? This is going to be my thing.
If you memorize this book, then you've got a really good chance of getting on Jeopardy and winning on Jeopardy. This James Holzhauer, he won 33 straight games. I did a survey of the 33 games that he was on, and he attempted to answer 427 questions that were in my book. Okay. Uh-huh. And he rang in first on these, or they were daily doubles that he was called on. And of those 427 questions that he was asked that were in my book, he got 427 right. So that's my argument.
Did he
can do that. He's got my book memorized. If he's 427 out of 427.
Has he said that he read your book? Has he claimed it?
He's never admitted it, and he probably won't. And I think it may be even, you know, one of the things that he doesn't want to let out, because there's so much information in my book on every Jeopardy show. Another survey I did was 45%. And this is over a period of like 30 or 40 shows. Uh-huh. 45% of the material they ask on the Daily Show was in my book. So what do you think if you went on the show and you were automatically given 45% of the questions before the show even started?
Right.
Plus there's the triple stumpers. Those are the questions that nobody knows. And there's three or four of those on every show that are in my book. And I'm sitting there yelling at the TV, buy my book, you know, because none of the three contestants know the answer. And it's right there on page 137.
But I'm saying there's only so many people that get on there, and I imagine that you have to be of a certain caliber to get on there. So how right. many people watch the show and think, oh man, I could do that. And they're wrong, Stephen, but they buy the book because they think they can do it. And they're fools.
Well, you gotta be dedicated. You know, it's gotta be a real interest of yours. And you just don't pick up the book and take the test a week later, you know.
Right.
This Armand, he told me he wore out a copy of my book and he had to buy another one. So that's some pretty serious studying.
Do you feel like the character that Rosie Perez plays in White Men Can't Jump was maybe based on you?
I don't think so. But yeah, that was very entertaining, though. You know, they got Alex in there and...
It was a good payoff at the end of that movie, you know, because she's like, it's kind of a side story through the whole thing that she really wants to get on Jeopardy and she's just watching Jeopardy all the time. And then it's like, oh, hey, she got on Jeopardy and she's like nailing every question. It's great.
Foods that begin with the letter Q. She studied that,
yeah.
You know, while they were in their room. And then that was one of the questions that came up. They just showed one show, but, perfect. Evidently, she lost in the second match. But
do you send them a letter? How do you even get considered to be on there?
Well, now they give the test online, and they just started changed their format. Before, they were given it like every 10 months or so when they ran low on contestants. But now you can go on Jeopardy.com tonight and take the test.
Oh, I'm doing it. I'm doing it as soon as we're done, Travis. Okay. I'm going to see how I do.
The format just a little bit. It's 50 questions.
Okay.
50 different categories. And they throw their own categories in there, and they got like word origins and stuff before and after and all the stuff that they like to do. And there'll be at least one world capital in there and one hit record and all that stuff. You got to know the artist and all that. But it's 50 questions, 50 different categories, and you've got 15 seconds to type in the answer. And the spelling doesn't have to be correct, and it does not have to be in the form of a question.
Oh.
And my best guess is that you need to get about 41 or 42 out of the 50 to get considered to go to the next round. And that will be to go to a city. They have six cities, and they change them all the time where they give the next round. And now the next test you take, they're going to be watching. See, because this last test that you took online, you could have a whole room full of people.
Oh, yeah.
Smart people. And, you know, like your trivia team.
Yeah.
And, you know, somebody knows this category, somebody knows that category, and you just blitz right through the test. But if that's the way you did it, you're not going to pass the second round where they're looking over your shoulder when you're taking the test.
So is the dream dead, Stephen, or do you still take the test? Are you still trying to get on there, or are you done?
I took the test about a month ago, and I counted 39.
Yeah.
39, and that's just under the threshold of what I believe needs to get, you know, I'm marking the little marks on the side, whether I know it or not. But I'm 65 now, and that the information is still there. It's all still there.
Uh-huh.
But it's just that instant snap isn't there.
Oh.
Like it used to be. But the more I work with the materials, it's, you know, like learning a foreign language, you know, it's there. And once you recall it a few times, then it you know, your brain gets exercised just like your body gets exercised, and it functions better.
So, guys, the website is gameshowtrivia.net, Stephen Farrell's website, his books. They're on Amazon and all that, I assume, right, Steve?
Yes, yeah. That .net will lead you to my website, or it will lead you to the Amazon, either one.
So if it's ever been your dream to get on the Jimmy Kimmel Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
I think that would be an easier way to win, you know, $250,000. How many Jeopardy games you got to win $250,000?
You know? Now you got to be on quite the run to win that.
Yeah,
kind of
game. You got to win 12 or 14 games, but you know, it's fairly easy to win $250,000 with the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire format.
Yeah, my only suggestion, I guess, to everybody, and obviously I'm no expert, but maybe if you get to that next round where they're actually watching you do, maybe wear a pair of goofy glasses or something to really kick off your fun personality to try to get you on TV.
There you go, Travis.
There you go.
Yeah, look, I'm eccentric.
Well, I got to the point where, you know, I got to do something during this interview. So I told it a little joke. They said, who do you work for? Well, you can't say your company. I work for a major company. I says, I couldn't say it. So I told them, I work for a large American airline. And they all laughed. I said, I'm on. I made the judges laugh, you know.
This guy's got
something.
That
didn't work
either. Steve, we appreciate you hanging out with us, man. It was fun. We should do it again sometime.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
Thanks, bud. Take
care. I'm right down the street.
Yep. I like Steve. Steve's a nice
guy.
Yeah,
it was fun.
It was a good time.
Yeah, he reminds me the premise of this book, like him studying Jeopardy and stuff. Did you ever watch that Price is Right documentary on Netflix?
No.
It was amazing because it was kind of the same deal where the guy was studying Price is Right. He wanted to get on Price is Right so bad that he consistently just studied every episode of Price is Right and tried to get all of the dollar amounts all these items.
Price is Right, they don't have a test. I think that one's just flattery. Like you have to wear a shirt that's complimenting the host or something.
I think it's kind of random how they call you down from the audience. But this was what he did throughout this whole course of his study, was that he created this giant spreadsheet of all of the products that Price is Right ever put on their show. So it was like every variation of a washer dryer, every variation of like a Honda Civic, every variation of all of these items, Rice-A-Ronis and things like that, took in consideration like inflation and everything. So this guy created this gigantic spreadsheet about how much these things cost. And he pretty much consistently nailed these answers. He got on, I think he got on one. Did he get on one? I can't remember if he actually got on one, but he did help another contestant who had a perfect game of Price is Right. He was in line with him. He told him who he was, what he did, how long he's been doing this. I mean, this guy did this for like a decade, and he was constantly, he was going to Price is Right literally like every day that they were taping. And he was talking to this guy in line and said, hey, this is what I did. I created the spreadsheet, blah, blah, blah. They ended up sitting together, and then he started to give him the answers from the audience. So the guy is sitting there.
Oh, so the guy would look and see the guy.
Exactly. He'd point up or down, or he'd mouth the price. And the guy got like a perfect score on Price is Right. This is the Drew Carey Price is Right, by the way. And he got a perfect score on Price is Right. And then automatically he's making like the media circuit talking how he did it. And he's essentially then was acting like he did the same thing that this other guy did that helped him out about how, oh, he just watched Price is Right so much and studied it.
Oh, so he was taking credit for the other guy's.
Exactly. But the other neuroses. Guy is the one that helped him actually win. It's an amazing documentary. It's like an hour and 15 minutes, but it's like super insightful. It's really entertaining that this guy spent so much of his life obsessed with the Price is Right and how to like beat it. You know,
there was going to be either a documentary or a docuseries. I don't remember about that guy who cheated at Millionaire with the guy's coffin and stuff.
Oh yeah.
I forgot. I remember seeing a preview for that and thinking, oh, I'm watching that. But then I don't know if it ever came out or if it's still coming out. I'll have to pay attention. But that was a great story, too. There was like three or four guys. It was like Steve was talking about the team. You know, I feel like me and Steven, we've gotten to a point now where I can call him Steve.
Oh, of course. You guys are hometown buddies.
You guys are essentially, yeah. Your
hometown buddies. Steve was talking about bringing your team. And the guy on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire brought his whole team. And,
to the audience.
Yeah, and they were all out there coughing. They had like a cough system set up. But yeah.
Like A, B, C, or D?
I'll have to.
You know, what's funny. I don't think I've ever told this story on the show before, but I was on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire once.
Really, man?
Yeah. Like, I actually won the show. I won the $1 million. And they thought I was faking it. They thought they thought I cheated somehow. But realistically, every question that was asked to me, I had like this, an experience like that in my life.
It just was serendipity.
Yeah, it just worked out that I knew.
Was one of the questions somehow related to like you falling out of the bottom of a outhouse?
Oh, God, yeah, crazy story from my youth.
Right, and then like, didn't you have to like run to catch a like a box car or something? You had to like get on a train.
I don't want to get into the details of what happened and how that all affected me. But yeah,
was there a question about how you and your friends formed a club of babysitters in your neighborhood?
God, it's kind of like. It's kind of like you guys saw it, the episode and the events surrounding the episode.
Oh, I'm gonna have to pull that back up.
Yeah. Wow.
Oof, boy, rough time. Interesting, you know.
Did they end up letting you keep the money? I don't remember.
No, we danced at the end.
Oh, you just danced? Matt, do you have what you would say is a pick of the week? I mean,
Unsolved Mysteries on Netflix.
Robert Stack's gone though, right? He's dead.
No, he's no host, right?
There's no host. How do they do it without a host? Robert Stack was the whole reason to watch that show.
Dramatic music.
Oh, bullshit.
Is it just like Dateline?
Just dramatic music.
Hey, Travis, fuck that show. Can we agree? Fuck that show.
No.
People like it. I'm not gonna. I can't fuck the show. I haven't watched it.
No, Robert Stack. I'm gonna take that Jeopardy test.
What are you gonna do?
I'm gonna let you guys
take that Jeopardy test. I want to know how many you get right.
I want to let you guys know how I did.
You need to lie to us.
I won't.
Oh, Jesse,
I got them all right.
Yeah.
Smollett, Jesse Smollett.
Travis, I had an incident at the grocery store yesterday.
Oh, really? What
I
mean, was it?
I don't want to like compete with you. Your story's better.
So you put a noose around your neck.
So I went up. I went to the grocery store, but then on the way home, my wife was telling me all the things that I forgot at the grocery store. So then I went to another grocery store. So I was in a second grocery store, and I was just grabbing a couple items. And so I grabbed some potatoes, and what else I get? Some potatoes.
People magazine.
I'm folding here on my fake story. it's a real story, guys. It was a joke. But so
Tampax.
I grabbed a couple items and I put them. I walked up to the belt, and I put my items down. And
is it a 10 items or less aisle?
My wife had said that she wanted me to get her a candy bar, and so I'm looking around in a panic, and I see no candy bars. Because, you know, we're social distancing. And so, like, they had some gum out, but, like, I had to kind of go down a few rows to grab a Snickers bar. And when I went back to get the Snickers bar, an old man was just yelling at me. He was hooting and hollering. I look up and I said, "What?" And he said, "You know, there's a line back here, buddy." And I looked and there. Uh-oh. See,
you
like.
Call him guy.
No, but like
was it the guy? Was it in the candy bar aisle or the aisle you put your stuff on the belt?
He was way the fuck back. I mean, like I walked unbothered by anyone up to the cash registers, but I guess there was like a line back that like went.
Oh, the social distancing line.
Right, but it was like really far away and off to the side. Like I was just able to walk up and I didn't see anyone. I mean, like I wasn't being a dick. I didn't notice it. And so I looked at, I mean, sure enough, there was like six or seven people in line, all seething at the dickhead who passed the line. So I went and I got my items off of the conveyor. And I walked back and I apologized. I said, "I'm sorry. I didn't see that there was a line." And the guy kept going, Travis. Like, you know, like once I've realized I've made a mistake and apologized, we don't need to talk about it anymore. Like, okay, I fucked up. Sorry. You know, I didn't see it. I did the right thing. I grabbed my stuff. I went and got back in the back of the line. And the guy turned around and continued to yell at me. And then the other old African-American gentleman at the back of the line turned around and he said, "Man, there's a line everywhere. I don't know why you didn't think there was a line." And I was like, Jesus fucking Christ, you people. And so I
what
I
do
just,
you mean, you people?
I walked away and I just went and got in the self-checkout line. And like that line was just as long, but those people didn't know about my crimes. Yeah, I was able to just kind of be.
So what were they? What was the old man shouting at you after you apologized and said, "Sorry, I didn't see the line"?
He just kept saying, "There's a line. There's a line everywhere. How did you not know there was a line?" And I was irritated.
I'm telling you, people are just, they're so fucking angry. Like
people
just,
it is crazy.
So angry.
I'll tell you, everybody, it's crazy out there right now. I don't, people are going nuts and I don't see this getting fixed.
there's not much of a line at Walmart, guys. You can just go to Walmart.
Well, the best thing about Walmart, honestly, is that you can, do that order before you get there.
Right. Yeah.
They bring shit out.
I know.
That is so advanced now. Like the parking that they have on the side of the building. And then now Walmart is doing drive-in movie theaters in their parking lot. Like fucking Walmart, dude.
Yeah, there's like 10 or 12 of those goofy guys in the orange vests walking around picking out stuff and putting them in their little plastic carts all the time. There's more of those people out than people actually going in.
I honestly don't even know why you wouldn't do that outside of like,
well, I mean, there's no line at Walmart. And so, yeah, I mean, like, you know, all the people saying, "Oh, you should shop local because, you know, Walmart's taking over the world." Yeah, but there's a reason Walmart's taking over the world. They're cheaper and there's no line.
I think it's some fucking idiot to shop for me for nothing.
Right. There's actually enough people checking you out to where they can keep up with the demand instead of, you know, just having like one or two checkouts open and having a line back all the way up to the pharmacy.
You, even if you don't use that thing where they shop for you, you can get in and out of a Walmart without ever dealing with anybody. With
right.
Self-checkouts and stuff.
Yeah, you don't have to talk to anybody.
You just buzz in, buzz out.
Is pretty smooth.
Guys, pick of the week is Walmart.
Wow. Shop the Walmart tab, WFOD.com/Walmart.
Thank goodness. They need the boost.
Guys, I'll tell you what. We'll do it again in about a week. We appreciate
give
all
give me my pick of the week.
Travis?
Yeah, I want my pick of the week.
Travis, did I not give you your pick of the week, Travis?
No, you didn't.
Travis, pick of the week.
It's called Horror Movie, A Low-Budget Nightmare. It's a documentary about a gentleman making a low-budget horror movie called Red Christmas and the trials and tribulations that come with trying to make such a movie. It is on Amazon Prime. Search for it. It is wonderful. The lead character, the guy who is directing his first feature film, Craig, I believe, Anderson, is just so likable and is just getting pounded on the entire time he's trying to do this fucking movie, but keeps a pretty good attitude. It's fun.
So is the movie a real movie, or it's a movie about making a fake movie?
No, this is a documentary about making an actual movie. Red Christmas, the movie that he ended up making.
Okay, so that movie exists.
Actually a movie. I think it's on Netflix. It was on Netflix at one point. It doesn't matter. I didn't see it. Just watch the documentary. Horror Movie, A Low Budget Nightmare, now streaming for free on Amazon Prime.
Travis, I think I might have already... No, I didn't. Yeah, I already did a pick of the week, but yeah, I watched the Danny Trejo documentary. It's great. So,
Yeah.
Nice. I imagine it
would. Yeah, me too. I'm excited to watch that one.
My wife didn't like it, but what does she know, right?
Nothing.
Come on.
It's great. Guys, we'll do it again next week. Thank you. Check out Steven's trivia books. Take the Jeopardy test. Let us know what you get. At WFOD show, you tweet us a screenshot because we won't believe you otherwise.
Yeah, I tell go find those people who called me a Jussie Smollett and tell them to apologize.
Tell them to listen to this episode to get my hard-hitting questions because I'm a true journalist. That's my mama.
Juicy Smouye.
Say it after me. They will blame us, crucify and shame us. We can't help it if we are the problem. We are trying hard to get your attention.
Listening to this installment of WFOD, join us live every Tuesday night at 9, 8 central on strangelabel.com. Be sure to check out all the other great shows that station offers. You can download past episodes of our lengthy catalog or enjoy other premium content on our website found at WFODshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at WFODix. You can also follow Matt at The Lotus Cast, Travis at Produce Travis, or Drunk at DrunkardSTL on the Twitters. You can email any of us, Mike, Travis, Matt, or Drunk at WFODshow.com. You can give us a call when we're live or when we're not. The number there is 636-487-HAND. Special thanks, as always, to our Patreon sponsors, Brian Kranz and Liquid Lozenge. If you'd like to be a Patreon sponsor, it's patreon.com/WFODix. We'll be back next week. Thanks again. Goodbye.
Lots of good stuff happening. It's going to be juicy. You'll see. All right. Bye for now. Take good care of yourself. Bye.